Moment just to thank God, can we? Can we do that? You know, just thank him where you are. Just thank him for what he's done. Praise him. His testimonies all over the place this morning, and encouragement and words of what God is doing. Thank you, Jesus. Take a moment. You can come take your seats. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We praise you, Father. We lift you. We exalt you. We glorify your name. Oh, Lord, there is none like you. There is no other beside you, Father. You alone. You alone are God, and you do great and marvelous things. Father, we call upon you, and you answer. Lord, you answer and show us those great and marvelous things. Lord, we call upon you in those time of troubles, and you help us. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, from the depths of our lives, we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the testimonies in this place this morning, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for the glorious workings of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the healings and the miracles. Thank you, Lord God, for the wooings, Father, and the leadings and the guidings of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the strength that you give us day after day after day. Thank you, Father. We praise you this morning and we acknowledge your presence here with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow. Is Debbie here? Debbie, are you here? Yes, so good, Debbie. And do you want to just come up and just share? I will come to the word and this morning. We'll just let God lead us this morning. So I just love the fact that we've been led by the Spirit this morning. Thanks, Tony, for leading us. But there's just a couple of announcements to make. Where the microphone's gone.
I'm loud enough, aren't I? Sorry. I'm munching satsuma. Rebecca wouldn't eat it, so what do you do? Good morning, everybody. Just to let you know of something I mentioned a couple of weeks or months ago about a new venture with little ones. This Thursday, we're going to start music tots at 10 o'clock in the back room. For anybody with babies, even pregnant women, really, because we already go to baby groups with having Rebecca, who's now three. And it gives you a wonderful opportunity, these baby groups, not just for the kids, but it amazes me what mums will go to just to be with other mums. Mm. Because having a baby is a wonderful, blessed time. But it's also a bit of a tricky time, and it can be a very lonely time, regardless of how many friends you've got in life. Majority of them might be at work or whatever. So it can be a very lonely time. So if you would pray for this Thursday at 10 o'clock and every Thursday, that it will open the doors to lots of mums to come in and have like-minded people around them, but an opportunity just to show them the love of Jesus and to be a support to them, as well as obviously have the little kids around us and playing. So there are some leaflets, I think they're out on the side out there. And if you are one of the ladies that have offered to help, or you would like to come and help, you don't have to have a desire for little ones, but actually it's somebody to make drinks and get a snack ready for the kids and tidy away, that sort of thing. So then I'm going to meet in the back, do you call it family room now? A little baby room at the back after the meeting, sort of 15 minutes after we've finished. I'll meet anybody in there who wants to come and help. But obviously please pray, because this is an outreach to the mums. It's not just, oh, let's get together and play together, you know. It's an outreach to those mums. So please pray for it. And if you'd like to support in any way, I'll be in the baby room about 15 minutes after we've finished.
That's great. Yes. Thanks, Debbie. It's exciting. You know, God delights in the small beginnings. And so it's great. So if there's things in your heart that's stirring, and you know, I really want to begin to reach out into the community over, you know, particularly as we start moving forward as a church. Just a couple of other things as well. Prayer meeting Tuesday, if you can join us, 7 o'clock. We've had tremendous times again in the prayer meetings on Tuesday. And if you're there, you know what I mean. If you're not, then please come and find out what goes on. I'm sure you'll be blessed as we seek God together. Exciting again on Fridays, Limitless Friday. It's almost like that on a Friday night as our young people come together, our juniors, there's dance, there's our youth group that's it's been launched, relaunched again. So that's exciting. But be praying for this work that's going on. It's a great buzz around on a Friday night, but it's a ministry, and we're looking to see that grow and develop as well. So be praying for that and the leaders as they lead that too. And next Saturday morning, men's breakfast here at 9:30, meeting here at 9:30. the church. Graham Leckie, I believe, is coming to share his testimony with us next week. It's all exciting as well. So let's just pray, shall we? Father, thank you, Lord, for the words that we've already heard this morning. Thank you for the testimony. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're moving. Thank you for the sensitivity to your Holy Spirit. Lord, this is what we desire, what we long for. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move amongst us so freely. And Father, as we just come to your word right now, as we find encouragement, as we find life, as we find truth in your word, we pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us and challenge us and change us and transform us only as you can. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles, if you want to just turn with me to John 15, we're going to look at that first. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to read John 15, verse 12. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. It says this: a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And we all know what it is. We all got friends. Have you got a friend? If you're not, then I'll be your friend. I'm sure Ken will be your friend. But it says, you know, if you're a friend, you have to be friendly. It's not a two-way. It's a two-way thing. It's not just someone's a friend to you all the time. We can be friendly to one another, but friendship is a two-way thing. But then he says, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And we know that friend. If you know Jesus, he is a friend to us, and he calls us friends. So we want to turn to John chapter 15. Verse 12, I'm reading from the New King James Version, says this: this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. Wow, what a wonderful statement that Jesus makes. I have called you friends. I no longer call you servants, but I called you friends. They've moved from a position of servants to a position of friendship. And I wonder if you know Jesus as a friend. We know he calls us friends, but do we really know him in the capacity as friendship with God? And this morning, I want to look at the closeness of God and friendship with God. And we'll see how we get on. I'm just aware of time this morning. But pray the Holy Spirit will lead us and we'll hear from him today. But those who have friends and what you may see a friendship to be. So just a few things what I see a friend to be. A true friend will stick by your side and never leave or forsake. A true friend will tell you the truth. A true friend will accept you as you are, warts and all. A true friend will give you a piece of bread in hours of the night. A true friend listens. A true friend will help carry burdens. A true friend will lay down his life for you. A true friend stands by their word. A true friend is one you can trust. And maybe you could add your own things in there as well, what you see a true friend to be. And if you have a true friend, and many people say they're friends, but we know the time comes of friendship to be displayed when they're there in those times of difficulty, in the times of the valleys, in the times of the trials and the tribulations, when your friends stick by you through it all, you know who your friends are. And Jesus makes this incredible statement of, I call you friends. You know, I think this is marvelous. And I just want to, I wanted to look at two people. And this morning, as I was going over a message yesterday, I think I'm going to leave one for another week. But there are two people in the Old Testament that we see were friends of God. I wonder if you can think of who they might be. Abraham and Moses were two people that we see that were considered as friends of God. And I just want to look at their lives this morning a little bit. And the life of Moses this morning, and see some lessons that we can learn from him about what it means to be a friend of God. Now, I think it's incredible that God doesn't want to remain at a distance from us. It's always been part of God's character and his nature is that he wants to know us. He wants to know everything about us. He does know everything about us. But he wants to have that relationship with us that is close. The closeness of Christ, the closeness of God. God wants to come near. He made us in such a way that we would know him. The Bible tells us that we were made in his image. We're made in his likeness. That is incredible. You know, God could have made many different things, and he did. He made lots of animals, but he made you and I in his likeness. That means he made us with similarities to him that we can relate to him with. So you made us with those wonderful emotions of love, of joy, of sorrow, of laughter. And God has these things too, so we can connect with a holy, incredible, all-powerful God because he's made us in his likeness. He didn't make us separate from him, but very much in a way that we can communicate to him and have a close relationship with God. How awesome and incredible is that? We're reminded on Thursday at the Bible study of Ken was reminding us and taking us into Psalm 139. And just as we went deeper into this passage, and we just saw how the psalmist says, God, you've searched me, my innermost being, as we looked at this, and we just marveled how God knows us every detail about our life. Not only does he know, but he's interested in us, every part of us. To think that God is interested in every intricate detail of your life. When you're being formed in your mother's womb, he was interested, he was there. And the psalmist ends with it, with, search me, O God. That God is searching us. He's for us. He's towards us. His heart is, and we read in James chapter 4 about the Holy Spirit, how he's jealous for us. He longs to dwell with us, dwell in us. That God wants to take residence in our life. He doesn't want to be a neighbor up the road, but he wants to be in your life and a part of your life. He's jealous for you. He desires you with his life. With our lives to be part of him and him to be in us. The heart of God is for closeness. For closeness. And we know that the barrier that we find in our lives is sin that separates us from God. This barrier of sin that separates us from him. Our imperfection and his perfection. Our unholiness and his holiness. Our unrighteousness and his righteousness. And this separation of sin that separates us from God, that we're, there's this longing in our hearts for every single one of us to know there's something greater out there, to know him who made us, who created us, who loves us. We have this desperate desire within us to know him, to be wanted by God. Many people in this world don't realize it yet, but that's what it is. And when we come to know God, he causes that completeness within us, that we feel complete with him in our lives. And yet we have a longing for that emptiness to be filled. And yet God has a longing to fill that emptiness with his goodness and his grace. That's why it says in Ephesians about the fullness of God and the fullness of his grace again and again, that God wants to fill us with himself. Can you see the heart and the character of God towards us? He's for us. He desires us. He's jealous for us. He's got his eye constantly on us. What an amazing God we have. And yet we are separated by this terrible, horrific sins in our life. And yet no matter how hard we try to deal with it in our own strength and to remove it with our hard works and our efforts, we still fail and fall short. And then God comes up with the great idea, the only plan, and says, I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to send my only son into the world. And I'm going to bridge that gap between us so that we can be united again. You know, this is why we need you. This is why we're living. This is why we're breathing. It's to know Jesus Christ. It's to have this relationship with him and enter into that relationship with him. In John chapter 1, I love what John writes here. He said, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world, talking of Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. The world didn't know him, and yet God longs for us to know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. You know, I find it, when I'm talking to people about Jesus, when I'm on the streets, whoever I'm talking to, you know, they don't see it, but my heart is weeping over the situation when I'm talking to them and when they reject Christ because they don't realize what they're rejecting. When they don't want to know about it, when they don't want to listen, when they don't want to hear about the Savior who came and gave his life for them. In my heart, I'm just weeping and thinking, if they only knew. And at times, I've had tears from my eyes as I've wept as I began to speak to them. And my heart just reaching out to them because God desires to know, but it says they would not receive him. It's so important as Christians that when Jesus Christ came into the world that we receive him and all that he is. He says, but as many received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Hallelujah. For as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. So when we receive Christ and receive him, he gives us the right to be positioned to his family, not just as ambassadors, not just as priests, but as children of God, connected into the family of God, part of his family, into relationship with him. He gave us the right. So you and I need to say this morning, it's my right as a child of God to come into his presence. It's my right because I have received Christ into my heart and into my life. You may see that, but it's important that we receive Jesus. We receive him. Receive the humanity of God and receive the divinity of God. There are some people in the world, they may receive the humanity of God. Receive and understand, yes, I believe there was a man called Jesus who walked on this earth. I believe there was a man called Jesus who was indeed a prophet and spoke things yet untold and did miracles. But they see his humanity but not his divinity. And it's right we understand the humanity of Christ because the Bible tells us he came in our likeness. That he got hungry, he got tired, he got tempted. He was just like us. Because he came and he was fully human, we can relate to God and have this wonderful relationship with him. We can identify with God. Without his humanity, then how would we connect to God in a real way? Through Jesus Christ, we can understand the character and the nature of God. As Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. So we can connect with God through Jesus and his humanity. It's wonderful that God came in our likeness. But if we just see him as his humanity, then we're going to lose on the whole package of, I don't like to use the word package, not probably the right word, but using the whole plan of salvation for every single one of us. For indeed, he had to be divine, because only God could die for the sins of the world. Only God could forgive sins. Only God is perfect in all his ways. We must receive his humanity and also his divinity, that Jesus is fully God and he's fully human. We must receive him as he is. For all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. If you just see Jesus as a man, then you're going to miss out. If you see him as a God, then you're not going to connect to him and in his likeness. Jesus Christ came near. He came near. To us, we must receive him as Savior and Lord. It said, all who received him, he gave right to become children of God for those who believe, to those who believe in his name. His name is Jesus, Savior, but his name is not just Jesus. His name is Yahweh. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jehovah Jireh, the provider. His name is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. His name goes on and on, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is great. His name is wonderful. He's the Prince of Peace. We could go on, all of us could give a name of Jesus. So when we receive Christ, we need to receive him for all that he is. Because the capacity by which you receive him will be the capacity by which you will know him. If you receive him just as a man, then you will just know him as a man. As you receive him as God, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, you receive him and know him as God. So when we understand and embrace the name of Jesus, we are beginning to know who he is. As we know him as Father. And some may know him as Father more than others. But when we receive him as Father, we can know him as Father. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, love one another as I have loved you. Again, we can love others by the capacity with which we realize how much he loves us. And the more we receive his love for us, the more we're able to love others. How much do you know Jesus this morning? Because I tell you, he wants to be close. He's come close. He's come from heaven itself and come right to this earth and dwelt among us, the Bible says. He lived among us. When he looked at people, he looked at the very souls in the hearts of men and women. He knew their thoughts. He knows everything about us. But do you know him as a friend? Just look at Moses in Exodus chapter 33, and maybe we'll do part one this week and part two another week. But let's look at this for a moment. Exodus 33, verse 11. It says, inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. How awesome is that? Moses would come to the tent of meeting regularly, and it says that the cloud would rest over that tent of meeting, and the people would stand as the cloud would rest over that meeting. And Joshua, the son of Nun, would come and also come close to this tent of meeting and would dwell amongst it. And there was Moses in this tent of meeting, just talking with God Almighty as a man speaks to a friend. You know, what a privilege you and I have that we can talk to God as a friend. Jesus says, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. And when he's talking about friends, he says, a friend will unveil the closeness, the details, the secrets of their life to you. And what Moses was finding, he was finding the secrets of God were being made known to him in this place of meeting. And he would make known some of these things to the Israelites and to the people around them. And God, when we come to friendship with God, he makes known to you things that he will not share with anybody else. And he does it because he loves you and he wants closeness and relationship with you. He will speak to you in your dreams, he'll speak to you in visions, he'll speak to you as you sit in the Word of God, he'll speak to you as you speak with one another, he'll speak to you in a way that nobody else can. He'll speak to you in the wind, he'll speak to you in the fire, he'll speak to you in the silent moments of life, he'll speak to you in the midst of worship. He will speak to you any way he can, but he wants to reveal more of his goodness and his grace and his faithfulness and his son Jesus to you every day. And Moses just loved spending time in the meeting place. Do you have a meeting place with God? If you haven't got one, get one. Because I tell you, you'd love to be in that meeting place. You know, there was something about Moses' heart, and you think, why, God, did you speak to Moses as a friend? And it says in Hebrews 11, verse 26 of Moses, he said, it thought it better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. What have we heard this morning? What's God speaking to us about? Keeping your eyes on Jesus. He forsook all the treasures of Egypt because his eyes were on Jesus. If our eyes are on Jesus, then they won't be anywhere else. And we can get so distracted in life, can't we, by so many different things. And it says Moses, he had his eyes on the faithfulness of God. He forsook everything that could have been his. And he said, no, I'm pursuing after God and his calling upon my life. He didn't fear the king's anger. He kept on going because he kept his eyes on him who was invisible. Keep your eyes on Jesus is a word for us this morning. Knowing God means that we got to keep our eyes on him. You know, we can keep our eyes on the treasures of this world that will just fade away and mean nothing, but keep your eyes on him. In Exodus chapter 20, we read something I believe is uttermost important in our walk and relationship with God, something that I've been learning over the years and I'm still learning about God, and I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit will make this a bit clearer to us. And we see something of Moses, that he'd had this revelation of God that I believe he wanted to communicate to the people that we need to find and have for ourselves. In Exodus chapter 19, God says to Moses, I'm going to make myself known to the people, then to consecrate themselves and get ready, because I'm about to show up. I'm about to make myself known. So they had to consecrate themselves, purify themselves, and they set a boundary around the edge of the mountain because God was going to show himself in the midst of the mountain. So and then Moses, back to Exodus chapter 20, Moses gives the Ten Commandments, which many of us are familiar with. And then we come to verse 18. It says, when the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, and when they saw the flashes of lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance, trembling with fear. And they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but don't let God speak directly to us or we will die. Verse 20, Moses says, listen, it's really interesting what Moses says. He says, don't be afraid, Moses answered them, for God has come in this way to test you so that your fear of him will keep you from sinning. As the people stood at the distance, Moses approached the dark cloud where God was. in this moment, we see that God begins to make himself known. They're there, they're ready, they're standing at the distance. God's about to make himself known in a way that they hadn't experienced before. And all of a sudden, as they're standing at the foot of the mountain, they hear this rumbling begins to form amongst their feet. And maybe they're looking to one another, what's going on now? And then they hear the ram's horn begin to blast. God's about to move. God's about to do something. And then the lightning shakes and the rumbling amongst the mountain gets louder and louder as a mighty thunder crashes, as they begin to realize how small they really are and how big God really is. And this is just a taste of God's greatness, because God is much greater and much bigger than this. Wow, as they're standing under the awe and the might of God. And their response is to tremble with fear. When you think of God, how do you think of him? We hear about his love, and boy, does he love us. But right now, they're getting a glimpse of who God is. They're trembling with fear, saying, Moses, don't speak to us. Stop this. They're in fear for their lives of what's about to happen. And their response is, look at their position of what's happening to them. Their response is, it says they moved at a distance. They were withdrawing from the presence of God, not drawing near. And what's the position of Moses? It says that Moses goes nearer to God and the people go further away. You know, when the reality is we need to have a right balance and concept of who God is, I believe, in knowing the relationship with Jesus Christ, of understanding that he is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. And when we come before him, we must come before him with reverence and awe, as it tells us in Hebrews chapter 12. I believe friendship with the Lord begins in a place of understanding who God is. When I was a teenager, well, probably in my late teens, maybe early 20s, I had a wonderful relationship with God, and God's very gracious and merciful. But, you know, I was going through this concept where God, he's my friend, but I would sometimes call him my mate. And I thought, well, God's my mate. He's there with me, and he's there. And I would talk to God like he was on a similar level to me. And yes, there is some understanding that, of that. He came down to our level, but he is much greater than that. And it's his grace and mercy. And I remember I used to try and dress cool. I try and be cool. I highlighted my hair. We have dog tags around me with Jesus written on it. I probably wasn't cool, but just trying to be cool. But Jesus is my mate. And then I came to realization. God spoke to me one day and said, Adam, I am not your mate. I am your friend, but I am not your mate. I am God Almighty. I am an awesome God. It says in Psalm 25, verse 14, I'm going to read two different translations to you. New King James, I'll read Psalm 25, verse 14 from New Living Translation, says this: the Lord is a friend to those who fear him, and he teaches them his covenant. Psalm 25, 14, in the New King James translation says this: the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show him his covenant. You see, friendship with God, I believe, starts in a right understanding of who he is. We need to fear God. We need to understand in awe of him. See, the people moved further away from God because they didn't know who he was. You will fear what you don't know. But when you know something, you realize you have nothing to fear. You know, growing up, my dad used to discipline me. And I feared him, but I didn't stay away from him because he loved me. And every discipline that he would have inflicted upon my life, whatever that may have been, was because he loved me. And I would draw nearer to him because I knew there was safety and protection and love in the midst of that. The people withdrew because they did not know God. Moses drew closer because he knew him. Moses said to them, don't be afraid. Interesting. They were trembling with fear. In other words, I believe he was saying, just calm down. Stop moving away. Listen to what I've got to say. God has shown you who he is so that you would keep you from sinning. But I want to show you that God loves you and that you need to draw near to him. And he says to them, God has tested you so your fear of him will keep you from sinning. And so as the people stood at the distance, Moses approached the dark cloud where God was. Moses approached the dark cloud where God was. We read in Exodus chapter 24, Moses, God calls Aaron and 70 other priests to come up to the mountain. And he says to Aaron, he says, you worship from afar, but Moses, you come nearer. The other thing I just wanted to say this morning was that sometimes as we come into a relationship with God, but we worship from afar, and God is calling us nearer. Do we worship from afar? Do we worship from the foot of the mountain? Do we worship and our place of worship is outside the tabernacle? It's not in the holy holies. It's not in the deep places of God. God is calling us nearer to Him. God is calling us to come nearer to Him. And I believe that we need to have an understanding that God, why wouldn't I want to be in a closer relationship with an almighty, awesome, incredible God? See, that's why we heard the other week about David and Goliath. When Goliath looked at David and David said to Goliath, who are you to defy the armies of the living God? And Goliath looked at little David and tried to intimidate him. He was missing out on who was behind David. And David saw a great and awesome and almighty God right behind him. So he could run in full force knowing that God was with him. Moses would come down the mountain and know no matter what the people said that God was with him because he knew his God. And God wants to bring us to a place where we know how awesome and how mighty and how great he is. And Moses drew closer and closer to God. He'd spend a month in the mountain without food just to be closer to God. In fact, he would say, God, show me your glory. I want to know more. What I hear from you is not enough. Show me more. I tell you, it's true. The closer you get to God, the more you want. The more you want. So much so, you know, when we get closer to God. I love Joshua. He went in and Moses sat in the tabernacle and he listened to the voice of God. Joshua was there. I believe Joshua, when Moses left the tent, Joshua stayed and remained at the tent. I believe Joshua was thinking, I want what Moses got. I want to stay in his presence. I don't want to leave this place. I want to talk to God as Moses did, as man speaks to a friend. You know, God has provided that for us. The veil has been torn, and we need to press beyond the veil. I believe God is calling us from far off worship to worship close and near, to come into the Holy of Holies. But we must come with a reverent heart. We must come with respect and heart, acknowledging who God is. Isaiah 33, verse 5 to 6 says, the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be stability of your times, and the strength of salvation, and the fear of the Lord, his treasure. Fearing God is acknowledging the awesome and the might and the majesty and the magnificence of who God is. Do you know in the New Testament we read of Peter, when Peter's first encounters with Jesus, when he saw him on the boat and he said to Jesus, he said, get away from me, I am a sinful man. And he fell down and said, get away from me. What was Peter experiencing? He was experiencing the awe of Jesus, the awe of God. His relationship with God, with Jesus, began in a place of fear. But it didn't withdraw from him because he wanted to know more. You see, sometimes people say, well, don't talk to me about the fear of God. Don't talk to me about hell. Don't talk to me about these things, about what God is saying. Because we are fearful that God is going to come back on us and we run away from him. But actually, when we realize that God loves us so much, we realize that actually, I can't keep away from an awesome, holy God. And actually, under his shelter of his almighty is where I will find safety and refuge. Under his rock is where I need to be. It will draw us closer. There'll be a pulling in our lives to have a right understanding of the fear of the Lord. I want to encourage you, you know, in your life with God, in your friendship with God, is to say, God, help me to understand what it is to fear you. It says in Acts chapter 9 that the church grew in the fear of God and the Holy Spirit. We need to have an understanding of the fear of the Lord if we want to go deeper in relationship with him. Because those who fear him will live rightly before him. Those who fear him will understand and spend time. He will reveal his secrets and those treasures to those who understand and respect him for who he really is, not just his humanity, but his divinity. Let me just close by reading Hebrews chapter 12 to you. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and praise God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. Our God is an awesome God. Jesus said to, when Lazarus died in the tomb, Jesus said these interesting words, and they've been going around my mind this week. He said these words. He said, our friend Lazarus is asleep. We shall wake him up. Our friend Lazarus is asleep. We shall wake him up. And I thought, God, are we asleep sometimes? Has our friendship, our relationship with you gone asleep? We worship you from afar. The intimacy that we once had with you is gone asleep. We're asleep. But God, you want to wake us up. He wants to awaken that relationship with him. Maybe he wants to awaken that love that has grown cold with him and reignite that with him again. He wants to reveal his secrets to us again. As Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I reveal to you, I make known to you the things the Father has made known to me because you are my friends. I wonder Ruth and the team would come up. Let's bow our heads for a moment and just God, you've said many things to us today. You're doing many things in our lives. And Lord, for maybe for many of us here today, you're calling us into a deeper relationship with you. And you've come close. And you're standing at that door and you're knocking and you're waiting for us to open up. And Lord, when you said that, you said it to the church. You spoke to the church. And Father, I pray that we would not shut you out. But Lord, we'd come to the meeting place. We'd come and dine with you. We'd fellowship with you again. That you ignite that friendship. That we'd pour out our hearts to you, we'd listen as you begin to pour out those secrets, those mysteries, those plans and those purposes. That you'd reignite that calling in our lives. You'd awaken an understanding, a correct understanding of who you are. Lord, you love us, but God, you are still God. You are awesome, you're majestic. So Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bring that revelation and you'd take us deeper in you, that would never feel alone, but would know there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's you, Jesus. You'll never leave our side. You'll stick to your promises. You'll stick to your word. You'll be faithful to the end. You won't leave us or forsake us. You're a friend in whom we can trust, we can rely upon, we can lean upon. You're a friend who speaks life. You're the friend who sees the best. And I pray this week, Father, for this fellowship, they would have revelation upon revelation of who you are. And we wouldn't want to be away from your tent, your place of meeting. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's stand together, shall we, and worship God. And we'll close with a song and we'll take up our offering as well if we do so in this last song. But I want to encourage you today, if you're feeling apart from God and you feel actually you need to come closer, you want to get your eyes back onto the fullness of who God is, you'd like some prayer, we'd love to pray with you. Again, yesterday I was praying and saying, God, is there anything that you want praying for today? And I just had the word come to my mind with spondylitis, and I didn't even know really what that was. So if that's somebody here today, you've got some issue with spondylitis, and I believe it's some issue in the to do with the back and the spinal cord, then let's pray with you this morning. But let's just allow the Spirit of God just to continue to minister as we worship Him in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Let's come near. Thanks, Ruth.